Today, we hear about John the Baptist. Are we going to record me all day? This is like, wow. This is like deja vu from last Sunday. John was strange. Actually, this morning I was practicing how many different syllables I could use for that one word, strange. Strange. But John was the person chosen by God to prepare the way for Jesus coming as God's Messiah. Matthew quotes the prophet Isaiah with the words, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And did you hear me say that John was weird? He didn't preach in a fancy church building. He didn't wear fine, fancy robes like this one. His hair had that windblown look, not neat and clean like mine. I was at a meeting yesterday. They wanted a group picture. I said, "Oh, wait, I gotta get my hair fixed." His food was not the kind of fancy stuff that rich people ate. Rather, he ate bugs and wild honey. He did not do the afternoon tea with the church ladies. He didn't wear fancy jewelry. Today, John would not be one of those televangelists with choirs and beautiful stages. In fact, John would not fit in and be what we would call a good religious leader today. John preached away from where the people lived. He went into the desert wilderness. He didn't have a big tent like a church revival. And if you wanted to hear and see John, you had to walk out into the wilderness, into the desert. It was dangerous country. Normally, people would not go there. There was no food. There was no water. The dangers from animals and bandits abounded. There in the desert wilderness was John wearing his strange clothes and preaching a tough message. He wore clothes of camel's hair and a leather belt. You might go, why would Matthew record that? It was to bring to mind the Old Testament prophet Elijah. Elijah, too, wore camel's hair clothing and had a belt made of leather. The people believed that Elijah would come again one day to prepare the way of the Lord's Messiah. John was Elijah preparing the way for Jesus. Now, John's message was one of repentance. We often think about repentance as feeling bad for something that we did, feeling guilty. But repentance is more than just a feeling of feeling bad. Repentance is doing something positive, changing your mind and your action, turning things around in your life, and going in a new direction. The person who genuinely repents does not just feel bad, but he or she tries to live a new life, a better life. Now, I was thinking about this past week. It sure seems strange that people would go out to this barren wilderness to watch this guy dress strangely, to hear a tough message about repentance. There are better things to do, aren't there? Like getting ready for Christmas, taking a nap, watching some football, spending time with family, but not listening to somebody. And I got to be careful here with my microphone. Scream out the words, "You better repent." God is sending his Messiah. Be ready. Why would they go out and listen? The people sensed that there was something special about John. They could tell that John's message was from God. It did not matter that he was asking hard things of them, because they knew John was right. It was time for a change in their lives. Hundreds and thousands of people came. They confessed their sins. They promised to turn their lives around, and John baptized them, washing away their sins. But there were some those days that John rebuked. He rebuked them because they too needed to repent like everyone else. But these Pharisees and Sadducees, the important religious people of the day, came, but John scolded them. He let them have it. You brood of vipers, you dirty snakes, bear fruit that shows that you have repented. They thought they were already righteous. They did not need to change. They thought that they were already God's perfect people. But John said, no, you too repent. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Change your lives and go in a new positive direction. So what does John the Baptist have to do with us today? It tells me, hopefully it tells us, that we need to stand humbly before God, leaving behind the pride that often separates us from God. It reminds me that we too need to repent, that God calls us to change our lives, to change the direction of our lives, to take seriously our faith in God and God's faith in us. English author Heinrich Sienkiewicz wrote a book called Quo Vas, it's Latin. And this book was made into the movie of the same name back in 1951, long before any of us here were born. The setting of this book was Rome in the year 64 AD. Nero was emperor. Christians were being persecuted. And in the story, Marcus Vinicius, a powerful Roman, falls in love with Lycia, who turns out to be a Christian. But Lycia was repelled by Vinicius' drunken advances, and with the help of a friend, she escapes from him. Someone told Vinicius that Lycia had made the sign of a fish, which meant that she was a Christian. Vinicius disguised himself as a Christian to track her down. He followed her into a secret gathering of Christians where he heard Peter preach. And the sermon that Peter gave changed his life. The author tells us Vinicius felt that if he wished to follow Peter's teaching, he would have to place on a burning pile all of his thoughts, ideas, habits, and character, with his whole nature up to that moment, to burn them into ashes and then fill himself with a life altogether different. Vinicius learned that following Jesus meant throwing on the fire everything that he used to value. It meant changing from the old person into the new person that God would make him into. It meant leaving things behind so that he could learn to value things that really mattered. I've never read the book or watched the movie, but I am told that it has a happy ending. Vinicius becomes a Christian, he gets the girl, and they live happily ever after. Changed lives. 3 weeks ago, we held a candlelight vigil for Pastor Dick. Many people came. Many shared a story about Pastor Dick, how he had touched their lives. Clinton, I'm looking at you because you're my next sentence here. We had a stranger come into our midst that night. His name, Clinton. And Clinton spoke about how Pastor Dick, how others from Salem were part of that team, that ministry team, that would go down to the Moose Lake prison. Clinton, the former prisoner, came and shared about how he was touched by Pastor Dick's presence and the ministry of the team. We do many wonderful things here at Salem, many things that touch people in many different ways, some of which we know about, many of which go unseen and unspoken. But because of you and me, lives are changed. People go in new directions, and we help people to repent, to turn their lives to God. I close with a challenge for all of us. Let us all let go of the things that hold us back. Let God direct our lives. Let God change all of us and steer us into a new and godly direction. God will take the brokenness of our lives and make something beautiful out of all of it. Amen. Carol.